Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, here with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. We are excited about tonight. We have come to the close of our week where we're talking falling short but not staying there. That has been our topic for the week. Every night has been amazing, and we're expecting nothing less tonight. So let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miss Candy.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am as well, sir.
Good deal. Well, I do welcome everybody on the call. You know, tonight is our Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. You know, we talk about the things that we have been talking about, discussing this whole week. We share some testimonies, some testimonials. We share some scriptures. You know, something that you just may want to share to encourage someone, you know. And then we have two of our panelists who have asked some email questions as well. Even if you don't feel like texting a message or a question, please do so, you know, to myself or Miss Candy or Miss Tiana or Mr. DJ. So with that being said, Miss Candy, going to go ahead and open this up with prayer, please?
Certainly, sir. Father, we thank you for bringing us all through this day, Lord. We thank you for keeping your hand of protection on us, Lord, as we travel throughout the day, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to join together in your name. Lord, tonight we go into this call, as always, in prayer that you meet us here, Lord. Meet us at the point of our need, Lord. Allow every word that is said tonight to be in line with you and your spirit, Lord. For every person who speaks out over the line tonight, Lord, we pray that the answers that are given to these questions are in line with you, Lord. Lord, we pray right now, even over our callers, Lord, give them the spirit of boldness. Allow them to speak up for you, Lord. Let no man, no woman sit back on their hands tonight, Lord, but let us all enjoy you on this call tonight. In Jesus' name, we place this before you. Amen.
Amen. All righty. Well, Miss Candy, I'm going to go directly to you first. This past
week,
can you share with us, you know, how has this topic fallen short but not staying there? How has it been applicable to your life?
Well, I absolutely love it, and I had an opportunity to think about a situation that was going on even at my job, because we're talking about, have we allowed people to stay in a fallen state? That was one of the questions that was asked this week. And I'm in a position where I supervise a lot of people, and we have a young man who's on my team. And make a long story short, he was on someone else's team, and he kind of went through a lot of challenges and changes with them. And this week I was able to talk to him and realize he was still internalizing all of those things. He was sunken down in his spirit. He had pretty much, school year hasn't even started, but he was at a state to where, you know what, I just give up. I might as well just quit because I can't move forward from what happened. Now, the situation that happened before wasn't a situation that happened with me, but in that moment, it was my responsibility to help restore him. And so I start talking to him about all of the good things that he brought, all the relationships that he's been building with the kids, and over the summer, how he had worked hard to do all of these things. And I promise you, when I'm talking to him, I wasn't even thinking about how the message that we have right now is tying into all of this. But on Wednesday night, during Bible study, is when you pose the question, what are we doing to help people in their fallen states? And then in that moment, I just thought about, God gives us these opportunities all the time, and it's not always a banner hanging up saying, you know, here's your opportunity to restore someone. I just noticed what was going on with him, and so I was building him up. And I'm sharing that because, again, it wasn't a Jesus moment for me when it happened. It was only when you posed that question to us, what are we doing to help people in their fallen states, that I realized God had given me an opportunity to help someone that very day and to really speak to him in such a way that it lifted him from the place that he was. Now, ultimately, God is going to be able to be the one that lifts him spiritually, but sometimes we can do things to help people along that path. And so this week I was thankful that God used me in that way, thankful that you brought it to my attention with the question that you asked, and just to see how every day, if we're paying attention, if we're doing the things that God asks us to do, these messages are woven all throughout, you know, what is happening in our lives. So that was, you know, an aha testimony part for me from this week.
Well, great, and thank you for sharing that, Ms. Candy. So I want to go ahead and invite welcome our two panelists in on the call. Y'all know we have Mr. DJ and also Miss Tiana. Mr. DJ, how are you this evening?
I'm okay, wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful, doing wonderful. And Mr. DJ, if you don't mind sharing with us real quickly, what about you? What has this topic meant to you as we talk about falling short but not staying there?
This topic has really hit close to home. Biblically, I'm reminded of the prodigal son, how he pretty much had a lot of things and thought he had it going on. And he said it's time for his independence. He's going to go out and go see the world and be on his own. And then he fell short. He fell short, and he had to come back home. And he was embarrassed to come back home. He didn't want to be amongst royalty. He just kind of, it humbled him real, real good. It's just like many of us when we fall short. But then when you look up, there's daddy. And I'm not talking about your earthly daddy. But his earthly daddy was there, as well as his spiritual daddy, and allowed him to get back up, you know, and go again. And I say that on a personal level because I think back to 13 years ago when I started the Battle of the Bands organization. And I made all these plans for like 14 bands to come through. Had this big event, and it wasn't but two. But I look at where I am today, and wow, if I had quit, if I had stayed down, I fell short. I fell short of what was planned, but that's not what God wanted. But I stayed disciplined, diligent, and I didn't take my eyes off God, and I didn't let go of his hand. And he's brought me to where I am today. And proud to say, instead of me chasing bands, bands chase me.
All right, now, Mr. DJ, that is absolutely wonderful.
That really is. So, and then we have Miss Tiana. Miss Tiana, how are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Carr. How are you?
I'm good. I fell short with that, but I didn't say that.
I appreciate it.
Good deal. So you want to share with us in brief about your experience with this topic?
This topic, just as both Ms. Candy and Mr. DJ shared, it's just woven in and throughout our days in ways that are just unexpected. I think nearly every day this week I talked with someone in regards to this topic, but like Ms. Candy said, not even realizing that it was in regards to the topic. But just to share a testimony of mine and how just God just shows up everywhere. There was a point in my life after I lost my mom where my favorite two M's were Mai Tais and Malbec. And I would say, what, maybe four nights a week was at my spot in Seattle, just happily enjoying to the point I had a favorite bartender in the whole works. But it was on those same bar stools that God reminded me of who he was. It was on those same bar stools where it was an invitation to join someone to church. It was on those same bar stools where I was reminded of him. And that's just something I want for us to take away, that no matter where we are and where we fall, God's always right there to pick us right back up. We don't have to stay in any position that's not of him if we're willing to receive him as he puts his hand out. And he is willing to send any and everybody to be in that spot so that you don't have to stay there for long. No matter what's got you there, it can be in that instant once your heart and mind is open. And just a constant reminder, he tells us that the righteous man falls several times and gets back up. So whom do you want to be? do you want to be that righteous person, or do you want to stay down on the ground? So just something to share with everyone today.
Okay, well, good deal. So we want to get directly into these email questions first, y'all. And this, again, this is, you know, falling short but not staying there. You know, we've been talking and discussing this topic the whole entire week, from Bible study to our fellowship last night, even in the prayers on Monday and Friday morning, okay? Falling short but not staying there. What is it that keeps us staying down? What is it that keeps hinders us from standing up? Y'all, this scripture, Proverbs 19 and 21, y'all can write it down. Proverbs 19 and 21, in some Bibles it reads as such, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. In other Bibles, it says that you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. In other words, you know, if ever you want to see God laugh, if he laughs, which, you know, but if ever you want to see God laugh, tell him your plans. In other words, Mr. DJ said it best, we fall short when we miss the mark. We miss the mark by telling God our plans as opposed to listening to his.
Amen.
In other words, we fall short by bringing our plans to God, but you don't stay there when you say, you know what, enough of my plans. Tell me yours, God.
That's right.
That's when Mr. DJ got it right with the Battle of the Bands. That's when you got it right with your situation. That's when we got it right with our situation. The very moment you fell short, you said, you know what, I've fallen enough, and I done ran out of Band-Aids. So I'm ready to stand up. And the only way that you stand, the Bible says, is the purpose of the Lord. The Lord's purpose is that which prevails.
Amen.
Prevails, y'all. It's going to be the thing standing in the end. That's it. All right? Y'all get
it? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Bible says that a righteous man falls several times but gets up. What he's saying is that righteous man went astray.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was in the wilderness, trust and believe, but he never failed. He never failed, just because to us it looked like he failed, but he did not fail. Okay? A righteous man will fall several times but get up. It's because we always lean to our own understanding. We do it our way. We tell God our plans. We have so many businesses in mind. Me and Mr. DJ got 5 businesses in mind. Then, you know, Miss Candy and Miss Tiana, they got 6 businesses. So we tell God all what we want. And God just sits back waiting. You're that righteous person. You righteous, too. You good. But you're telling God, he's just sitting back and waiting. And then when it fails, say, why, God?
That's right.
Okay. He waiting on your why to say, you know what? Instead of saying, why, God, you're saying, you should be saying, you know what, God? I understand. Wait. So replace the why, God, to have your way, God. Okay? And as soon as we do that, we'll start to stand up. But a righteous man will fall several times, but get up. The righteous man get up when he or she lets God's purpose reign in and throughout their life. All right? So with that being said, Ms. Candy, you want to open up with the first email question?
Yes, sir. The question is there a way to avoid falling short in the same area more than one time?
Ms. Candy, I'm going to start with you.
It's a choice. Is there a way to start? Let me make sure I have this. Is there a way to avoid falling short in the same area more than one time? It truly is. Thank you for confirming. It really is a choice of ours on whether or not we want to fall short in that area. Typically, we fall short in the same area over and over again is when we haven't made that commitment, when we haven't solidified that we're only going to follow what God calls us to do. And we know that we're in error when we do it. But something is just holding us making those choices to continue in that. But once that once a decision is made and you stand on it, then there should be no reason to go back to it. But if you do, it's getting up that quickly. If you do, it's knowing that, all right, we can change the situation, but we've got to take ownership and be responsible for what we're choosing to do day in and day out. I hope that makes sense.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm going to go to you. Ms. Candy, can you read that question again, please?
Yes, sir. The question is there a way to avoid falling short in the same area more than one time?
Yes, I say absolutely. When you realize that obedience to God is more powerful and better than self-loathing, when you deny yourself, when you say, you know what, I've been doing this over and over and over and over again, you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. So why not try God? I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you is why not try God? So once you realize, hey, you know what, I need something different, I want something different, Lord, you take the wheel. I should have yanked it from you in the first place. I'm sorry. This is this vehicle called life. You're the driver. I'm merely a passenger. And you utilize me how you want me to be spirit-led and disciplined about the decision, whether you like it or not. You know, so once you do that, once you humble yourself and submit to God and let him lead your path and order your steps, then you won't make those same mistakes anymore.
All right. Nice. So the question was, thank you all both for answering that. Is there a way to avoid falling short in the same area more than once?
Mm-hmm.
As Ms. Tiana said, you know, to the nature of, you know, when you, it seems that one would have not yet made their commitment to the things of God. And this is why they keep on sliding back, committing the same errors. Okay? As the DJ alluded to the fact that we have to deny ourselves. And both of those are great answers. This is what I would challenge everybody with. Is there any way to avoid falling short in the same area more than once? Of course there is. However, here comes the however. It's a challenge to the natural man, not to the spiritual man. Because once we deny ourselves, what do you replace that with?
God.
Once we actually conquer denying ourselves, once you have overcome the sin of, let's say, lust, sex. Y'all, we use that? Okay. You have overcome sex, premarital sex. What do you replace it with?
God.
Definitely the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God, right? But here's the thing. Satan has been around here. He's an OG. Original gangster. He's been around here longer than we have.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So replacing it with God sounds good. See, so in other words, he used to say people do the same old, same old. You're doing the same old, same old. You do, and Satan just laughing. Because although they may conquer not doing the same thing, I'm just going to come from it in a different angle. So you may say premarital sex is bad and I've overcome that, but if you still got a toy, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have a toy. If you still thinking about it and then you lusting after it, even if it's 5 minutes a day, what's the difference? I mean, I'm not messing with that woman. I know she married, but y'all communicating, y'all talking, and you know it's not. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Satan Slick now, again, he's an OG. He's playing for keeps. So it may not look that you're like you're doing the same old sin over and over again. And a lot of times we don't want to do the same old sin over and over again once people, expose it. We'll do it if it hadn't been exposed. You think I'm lying? Why you think we gain weight? Because nobody know what you're eating at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think y'all hear me. Because, see, according to what the answers we just got, see, now I'm challenging us.
Yep.
with our answers. Y'all answers are absolutely correct, but it has to go beyond that. Because, see, the evidence of sin causes people to kind of back up. How many people will tell you, oh, girl, you look good, and your stomach, you can't even see your toes? Now, it's evident that you, y'all, don't get mad at me. Because it's mind, body, and spirit, right? We do the mind and we do the spirit. We just don't want to take care of the body.
Come on.
We will fall short when it comes to that because what? It takes effort. That's why. And it takes discipline. That's why. So according to this question, is there a way to avoid falling short in the same area more than once? Why then do we keep on packing and piling on when we know it ain't right for us to be eating the foods that we eat, yet we keep on doing it? See, we don't say the sin of sex, but what about the sin of gluttony? I'm waiting. Uh-oh, nobody want to challenge that because we spiritual? We
too
holy?
That's the truth.
We too holy on the phone, y'all? Somebody say, God did give us bread.
And meat.
And meat. <Yeah. laughs>
But it's not of the ground. Fruits and
vegetables. He gave us bread. But do y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Guarantee, Ms. Candy, from the email question you read, the typical mindset when you say, is there a way to avoid falling short in the same? Falling short, we think that it's always just the sins of the flesh, just the sins that people can see. See, we don't think that overeating is a problem until the doctor says so.
Amen.
And then we lot of, boy, y'all don't want to be, y'all here tonight? This is our learning center. What are our people who we quote unquote say we love? And you would tell Mr. DJ, Mr. Carr, Miss Candy, Miss Tiana, oh, you look good though. Wow. So now when they actually lose weight and get in shape, now you say, ooh, what you been doing? But didn't you just say they look good 6 months ago? So which one is it? Is this version of you telling the truth, or is the old one when you say they look good? But you got to be comfortable. They not comfortable in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Think they comfortable?
Come on. Come on.
But you pacifying it, and you're allowing them to keep on doing. Hmm? They keep on falling short because somebody, and then look, you the friend. But they come to the trainer and say, I need somebody who's going to hold me accountable. But what happened to your good friend? They be lying to me, though. My good friends lie to me.
That's right.
Ain't there some people? How can you love somebody and yet they go to the doctor and that doctor say, you do either this or this is about to happen? But you said you love them. So should we revisit this question? Is there a way to avoid falling short in the same area more than once? See, we think that it's easy. Oh, yeah, I got to say it, Mr. DJ. It's easy because, see, that ain't our sin. See, we can avoid alcoholism because we don't drink.
That's right.
You say they crazy. They don't want it. That's what, right? Hmm? They haven't committed, right, Ms. Deanna? Well, wow. That's real. Okay, good. I'm glad you say they hadn't, because you don't smoke, you don't drink, and you don't hormones. Okay, but what about the overeating? See how real it is, y'all?
It is.
Oh. It makes us think again, right? What is it that you're falling short in? Think about the very thing that you're falling. Maybe it's anger issues. Maybe it's the lack of patience. Maybe it's the lack of finances, being able to manage them. Maybe it's just the fact that you're just selfish. Something that you're lacking in. Now, look at what you're lacking in, right? Do you mean to tell me the reason why you keep on doing that same old, and same old again, time and time again, is because you haven't committed to God? No, it has to be more than that. Not only do you commit to God, you got to commit to the things of God. See, now it don't say just replace it with God. Now I got to know what God requires of me. Because you can't just say I bought a house. Did you understand that you also have insurance, flood insurance, and you need an alarm? See, it's called maintenance. What you going to do? If you don't understand the maintenance part, you will keep on doing the same old, same old, same old. God told that woman who they brought to her, who committed adultery. They ain't bring the man. That's funny. Men been getting over from day one, huh, men? Yeah, okay. They brought the woman, and God told her to go and sin no more. In other words, go forward and fall short no more. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to commit the same. The only way that she can do that is called discipline. We don't want to discipline others, let alone ourselves.
Amen.
All right.
Mm-hmm. See, part of the reason, Mr. DJ, we so loosey-goosey with others, and we'll say, hold on, I know everybody, you know, all we have, all sin. You're right. But see, if I can check Candy, I want Candy to check me. Because, see, here's the thing. I know I fall short, so call me out on my falling short. I'm going to call you out on you. See, I don't want to challenge Candy because I don't want Candy to challenge me.
That's right.
Right.
In other words, I want to be in a situation where I'm staying there doing it more than once. Because I'm only human is the excuse. I'm under construction is another one. In other words, if you're still under construction, you're telling God, according to this question, is there a way to avoid falling short? You're saying, yeah, but I don't mind being in a situation where I got a pothole and a slip here and there. You know I have a weakness for men. You know I have a weakness for sweets. You know I have a weakness for women with pretty eyes. And you don't mind being in, you don't mind being there. In other words, you say I committed to God, just not the lifestyle. And the Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. In other words, when you fall short, the lifestyle. See, the reason why he said there's only one way to the Father and it's through the Son, y'all didn't catch that. What he's saying is your life has indicated you want heaven. It's your words. I don't think y'all heard me.
Come on. Amen. Come on. Come on.
Y'all heard me. You can say I love Jesus and commit all day. Your life has indicated that, okay, I'm not about to do this again. But Mr. Carr, how can this, you just said Satan is an OG. He's, that means you got to, before you move and do, you got to know what you're doing.
Yes, indeed.
Ain't that something, people?
Yes, sir.
And the reason why we keep on doing it over and over again is because we have yet to fully commit to God. In other words, we commit to the ideology of serving God. But the lifestyle, I'm not there yet. Huh? This is why so many people can... Boy, I just had this conversation, Miss Candy. Lord, have mercy. I just had this conversation. I was talking to one of our very own. Not feeling well. Okay. I said, remember this. You're supposed to be the light and the salt, and I left it at that. See, we commit to the ideology of not falling short and being Christian. But when the tire meets the road, when the sun meets the flesh, I mean, when you have to really get out there and work, and I'm talking about even on your bad days, remember the Bible said God was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if you are to be a child of God, that means we can't be repeating the same old things, because now we got to tell our body to shut up, even though I don't feel like it. Look, I represent God, so I got to handle my business. If money can make me smile, how can my daddy not make me smile?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You'll smile when you go to work, too, huh? So that money is more important than what God paid for on the cross? Shame on you. He paid for your smile on that cross. What's happening now?
Mm-hmm.
He paid for your right attitude. On the, he didn't care how you feel. Do you understand how he felt?
Come on.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So to avoid falling short in the same area more than once, that means when we really give it to God, we also see God don't just take. God, Lord have mercy, he gives.
Yeah.
The Bible said it's better to give than to receive. So you know it is impossible that if you give something to God, he ain't going to give you something back. As a matter of fact, he even gave you something before you give to him.
Yep.
Okay. To be a disciple, the root of it is discipline. That's the part that we always want to avoid. We don't like the discipline. Because I want to feel how I feel. And y'all, believe it or not, I don't know how many people we have on the phone line tonight, Miss Candy, for the Monday Night Raw. Believe it or not, the argument with Christianity is just, that's just how I feel. Or my emotions matter. No, it does not. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. He erased all of that. And because you go by the way that you feel, because your emotions matter, this is why we fall short in the same area more than once. We have yet to learn that our emotions don't matter. If your emotions matter, God would never tell you to pray for those who despitefully use you. Because your emotions would say no, but what did God say?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we fall short in that area too, Mr. DJ. Because when somebody uses us, how many of us really, truly, honestly pray for them? And I'm saying praying for them with a pure heart.
Right.
That's right.
Do we fall short in that area? Or are we still falling short in that? You know, when you say, I can't forgive, you're still falling short. Why are you falling short? Because you like the idea of serving God, but you just don't like the actual a lifestyle of serving God.
Mm.
Because the lifestyle requires that you give up you. And we ain't ready to do that just yet, are we?
True.
Y'all, we can be honest, right? This is what this is about. This is about growing and loving and loving and growing, right?
That's right.
Right. So, excellent email question. Excellent email question. Okay. Somebody said H-U-S-H. All right. Good. I'm going to leave it to them now. I'm going to let Mr. DJ. Woo! What have we got for the next email question?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Hello. Good evening. I do have a question, and the question states, how do I know the difference between condemnation and corrective criticism when it's coming from someone who says they love me and they want to help, yet they always have a negative mindset?
Mr. DJ, that's on you.
Well, of course, the difference between condemnation and corrective criticism, despite the mindset, are they telling the truth? Consider the source. That's what you need to do. Consider the source. Sometimes, as Mr. Carr just gave us a great example, your friend could be the one telling you lies. They're telling you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear and not the truth. Sometimes those that are enemies or whom you deem to be an enemy is actually telling you the truth. They're telling you what you need to know. You know, if I'm friends with Mr. Carr and say, hey, man, look, I'm in pretty good shape, huh? I know Mr. Carr. He says, yes, I would not train with him because I know he's telling me a lie. But now if he looks at me and say, well, DJ, you know, you one Reese's Pieces away from breaking that scale, bro, you need to come on over here and work out with your boy. Maybe if you put down some of them ribs and, you know, eat this lettuce and, I mean, I need you to get your breathing on and get the regimen on and show me what to do, not just talk about it. You know, DJ Fat, oh, boy, he's big. I don't understand it. How you get that big. You know, not those kind of people, but offer criticism and a solution. Now, there's a nice way of saying it, and then sometimes there's a not-so-nice way of saying it. But if he's telling me the truth, I can't take it as nothing but constructive criticism. So it's about how you view it. If you're afraid of the truth, then it's going to be condemnation. But if it's the truth, it is what it is, you know. And that's the only way that I can sum it up is, you know, consider the source and look at the information. That's it.
Solid answer. Solid. Very solid answer. All right. Miss Tiana, I'm sorry, can you repeat that question for everybody to hear, please? That's a really good answer, Mr. DJ.
Miss Latanya, are you there? I believe we are having a...
I wrote down the question, Mr. Carr.
Where did you come up? What was the question?
It was, how do I know the difference between condemnation and criticism, depending on whether or not the person is critical or not? So basically, how do I know the difference between condemnation and criticism? And if you don't mind, I just want to like you said, Mr. Dita's answer was great. Just want to piggyback off of the answer in saying that the only way we're going to know the truth is knowing God, right? He is the truth. His word is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if we want to be willing to accept truth, and that's always on us, then we will accept the truth and the criticism and move on. But if we don't want to accept the truth, we'll sit here hurt and upset and all sorts of other things and feel that, and there's that word feel, because that's what it is, condemnation, except for respecting that person who is willing to provide us the truth, no matter their friend or not, they were sent to do so in that time and in that place for us to hopefully open up and hear, because the truth comes via hearing, right? Truly open up to hear what is being said so that we can move forward in that right direction. So just want to just add that to what Mr. DJ had already shared.
Okay. Ms. Tiana, Mr. DJ, I'm talking with Ms. Candy, and I just finished the conversation with Ms. Candy. And now you are in the presence of Ms. Candy along with Ms. Tiana. Ms. Tiana, I want you to condemn me. Mr. DJ, I want you to criticize me. Ms. Tiana, you first. Now, you're talking to Ms. Candy.
Ms. Candy, hey. You no longer... Hi, how you doing? So, how you doing? I'm sorry, I didn't even give you a chance to respond.
That's fine. I'm great. What's going on?
The other day, like, for real, you just had the audacity to speak about me and then Mr. DJ without even talking to us first. Like, that's not even okay. Next time, you'll talk to us first instead of going behind our backs.
Okay.
And Candy, why are you listening to Mr. Carr anyway? I mean, he says one thing and says something else, but why would you listen to him anyway? I mean, consider the source of that, because the same way he's talking to you, he also talks to me, and he also talks to Tiana as well.
This is true.
Okay. Y'all got it?
Mm-hmm.
So condemnation, yes, criticism, constructive criticism, it always gives a solution. Oh, ye of little faith, God said to Peter. He's criticizing Peter. But he's being honest. But
right.
Here's the solution. You know, he lifted him up out of the water. If we criticize Oak with no solution, that means condemnation. In other words, you don't have to say they're going to hell, but you mean it. You don't have to say that you're greater than them, but you put them down enough to show it. Critique is trying to get somebody back on the level of what God is, whether you're on their level or not, but you're trying to speed them up, catch them up. Criticism. It can be coming across as, you know, remember the Bible says that God chastises those who he loves. So a child don't understand the whooping until they get older. And they say, thank you.
Amen.
See, until we spiritually grow, we don't understand godly critique. Until we grow up. Someone's trying to lift you from a place to where you are to get you to stand up. You're falling short. They're trying to give you God stand up. But they don't say God's name. Well, you don't read your Bible, so they're trying to give it to you in the natural. Because if they say the name God, that's all you're going to see. That's all you're going to know. And you're going to think that it's God, God, God. And it is God, God, God. But watch this. Y'all watch this now. Then you'll start playing with the name God even in the midst of your foolery and think that God is going to bail you out. Y'all think I'm lying?
Not at all.
Well, and this is not to knock somebody's religion, but you know, in Catholicism, that's what it's taught, right? I can do whatever and do whatever and just go and ask for forgiveness, right?
Correct.
And rolling them dice if you want to. In other words, you can just throw God's name around. In other words, you're taking God, his kindness, for a weakness. But then you have condemnation. That's when you talk about, but you never give a solution. You put down, but you never give a solution. And then, see, critique never puts down. It may come across as being put down, but it's actually trying to strengthen you. In other words, you can say that the gym is condemning me then, because when you go lift weights, it's to tear muscle down. But the strong know that it's to build them back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think y'all hear me, though.
Yep.
Y'all follow so far?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Critiquing. Who was Tiana, you was critiquing? Who was critiquing? Who was condemning me?
She was condemning you. I was criticizing.
Criticizing. Y'all see it? So with that being said, either way it go, okay, even what the Bible says, what the devil meant for harm, God meant for good. Regardless, oh Lord have mercy, y'all don't hear me. I said to myself, regardless, huh? Y'all know this is right? No weapon formed. Regardless, see, when you're so innocent and you're pure in God, that means when somebody's trying to condemn you, you say thank you, because you take it as a critique. In other words, Satan, the more you mess with me, the more I know I'm in good standing. You better get somewhere. Come on. Keep on calling me, and I'm going to keep on going harder. The more you say my name, the more advertisement you're giving me.
All right.
This is why I refuse to say the devil did it.
That's right.
Y'all understand this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I better hear this now. Watch God. You can be fooling around and trying to condemn it. Lord, women, can we talk for a second? Ladies, say yay, yay. Huh? Oh, y'all don't want to say that? Fellas, watch this, y'all, for real. Watch this. Ladies, that same boyfriend, ex-husband, that boo, your bae, that you was condemning to your homegirl, why she with him?
Okay.
DJ, we open up a can of worms. In other words, you be careful, because what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Don't you know that you convert something?
Come on.
It's not so much you fall in the dark. When somebody's innocent and pure in God, you know how we watch the movies and be like, they behind the door, don't go in the door. See, it don't matter the setup. God still gets the glory when you walk in his order.
Yes, sir, right.
Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. To be tempted by Satan, but tested by God. Hold on. I don't think y'all heard caught that. The same wilderness, the same situation you're going through, the same broken marriage, the same broken relationship, the same broken finances. You might not smell so good. You might not. The same brokenness that you're going through, you're led to the wilderness to be tested by God, but tempted by Satan. It's all about not their perspective, but yours, how you receive it. Because I said, thank you, Mr. DJ. I needed that uplift. I needed that swift kick. He thought he was condemning me. I say, thank you for the critique, brother. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Uh-oh. So it ain't about the person. It's about the one who's receiving it. Lord have mercy.
Come on.
I don't think y'all hear me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because see, the boyfriend or the ex-husband that you was talking about to your homegirl, he didn't know you was talking. So he is innocent, whether he was right or wrong. You was trying to spew out venom. But see, the person who was receiving your venom didn't take it as a condemnation. They were saying critique. Shoot, you see him as trash, but I see him as something else. Why are they with him?
Exactly.
Like that said right there. And then you get mad and say, she ain't no good. That's a whole nother talk. Okay. Have y'all seen that before? The very person that somebody else was trying to put down, that person didn't look at it as a put down, because if they looked at it when that person was trying to put them down, well, why in the world are they with them?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? So one was trying to condemn, while the other one was taking your condemnation as a critique. In other words, you're telling me where they're weak at, and I can accept their weaknesses.
Okay.
You can just critique them, and I don't even have to go through the 4 years that you went through with them. I can meet them in 40 days. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Oh, Miss Candy, did that go over their head?
All right. Come on.
Oh, that can also be a setup by God for every person that's trying to condemn you. If it works like that in a relationship, you know it works like that in the kingdom of God. They're trying to put you down, but what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. So while they're trying to put you down, they actually critique. Oh, Lord, it just depends. See, if you're walking in the righteousness and the order of God, it don't matter what people say. If that's the one, the recipient, if that's supposed to be the job for you, I know they put you down, yeah? Somebody went to them and talked, yeah, but see, that was a setup for your company. Y'all don't hear me. It was a setup for you to be blessed. In other words, watch this. They meant it to tear you down, but now when you go meet that person, they say, I already know who you are. Come on in.
Yes.
Because if somebody's talking about you so bad, they must not want me to meet you because you got something in you. And I'm very, very careful when somebody condemns people. Because you talk about them so bad, I want to meet them anyway. I want to meet them. You know why? Why? Lord have mercy. Why, oh why, would you be putting something down so good that God is still saying is usable? Because he said let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In other words, if they have breath in their lungs, why are you putting them down as if they can't see heaven?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Be careful of your condemnation. Remember, that's what the accuser does. He accuses, he condemns. Hmm? As a matter of fact, he talks about you to God. That's why God says, I still want to see him, though. I don't care what you say. You condemner. Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And the difference is all about your perspective. What do you see it as? Tiana, you just big and you fat. Mr. DJ, you can't see. Mr. Carr, your attitude, you just too loud. You too aggressive. You got anger management problems. Thank you for that. I'm glad you told me that. I'm glad you told Tiana that. I'm glad you told DJ that. You know what? That means we can build off of that. Lord have mercy.
That's right.
I don't look at it as condemnation. I will high five you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You just showed me where I was weak, and now watch this. You just made me strong.
Yep.
We'll catch that one day, y'all.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm serious. Stop taking everything that people say as y'all trying to put me down. Tell them thank you.
Amen.
That's right.
Tell them thank you. Y'all see it all the time, even in the athletic world. They have some people that's smart out there, and they start saying stuff like, you know, when you start talking about him, be like, boy, his forehead is so big and stuff like that, Lordy. And you be like, you know what? I said, my mama said the same thing about me. See, when you start piggybacking what they said, they can no longer condemn you. They, too, have to be like, I tried to hurt you. See, condemnation is supposed to hurt. And when it no longer hurts you and you can laugh about it, and they hurt.
Yep. Yes.
Amen.
Hello.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Can we get to the next email?
I don't have any other callers at this time, sir.
Okay. So we gonna throw out some questions. Mr. DJ, you had any questions? Miss Tiana, anybody? We're going to get some things on.
Let me pull it up.
Falling short, but not staying there.
I do have
a question. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Paula, go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Hello, everyone. I have a question. What does God's joy look like in times of falling short?
Can you repeat that?
Yes.
What does God's joy look like in times when we fall short?
What does God's joy look like?
Yes.
I would say his joy. I would say his joy looks like cooling water to a soul that's in a desert, an oasis of heat and turmoil and sin, or what looks like there is no tomorrow, no nothing, like it's just a drought, that his joy looks like an ice-cold river waiting for you. That's what his joy looks like. His joy is everlasting. It's undisputed. It's refreshing. It's healing. His faith, his power. I can go on and on about so many things, what it looks like. But keep in mind, you can't see what I see. So to me, I see things a little different. But whatever it is to you, it may be a little different to me. But I guarantee you, it's something the opposite of what you're going through when you fall. And it actually serves as a rock, as a support to help you get back up. And I just want to say this right fast. I lost my eyesight. I couldn't see nothing at all. And I thought that that was everything. But I got my crown, and God seemed as if, okay, are you done? Okay, are you done? And finally, I didn't think it was going to work. Here I am with a daughter. I want to see her graduate. I want to be able to walk her down the aisle, and I know what light looks like. I know what success looks like. And all of that was taken away from me. But spiritually, I've grown closer to God now because I've learned to look with my ears. And he blessed me with my sight back. I have two eyes that look very natural, but my sight is only halfway. But now, get this. My hearing and my other senses, oh, my goodness, that's picked up so strong and made me really, really grow closer spiritually. That made me to understand some things through the eyes of God and through the power of listening, okay, and dealing with him on a deeper level other than just visibly what you see. See, I already had faith, but this made my faith that much stronger. So, again, I would say, that joy, to me, looks like a big, powerful, strong arm to a man that has fallen. But that strong arm can lift mountains.
To me, it looks like humility. When we fall, there's many a times, yes, there could be our choices, but there's many a times there's a lesson in it. There's something that is there for us to learn from, and many a times it's for us to humble ourselves and get that chin check when necessary. And only God can do that in that way, is remind us of whom he is and what he's done, because it's us being able to go to him. So I have no idea, right, what, if I take the word look literally, looks like. I know for sure that it's when we fallen short, it's an opportunity for us to call on him. When we fallen short, it's an opportunity for us to remember that he is just right there waiting for us to call. Is he happy in us? Joy, happy in us falling short? That's not what he wants for us, but he sure enough let's look at Jonas, right? Jonah, who we talked about last night. And God gave him an assignment, right? And he went about his own way, right? God laughs at us when we go about his own way, but he had to put him in that situation to see the light. He had to put him in that dark place. He had to make sure, he had to fall for him to know that you can't run from God, because he's always going to be right there. So if anything, it's God's joy, is that remembrance and that reminder that he is always present. for us. I hope that helps.
All right. What was that question again? Is a caller there?
1 second, sir. Caller, can you repeat that question for us?
The question is, what does God's joy look like in times when we fall short?
What does God's joy look like when we fall short? I would say God's joy still looks like one word, expectation. Because when you say joy, you know, a lot of people say joy to happiness, but joy doesn't bring happiness. Joy is security and knowing, you know, but obedience and following. Okay? Joy is simply a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning you shall obey him. This joy that I have, the devil didn't give it and he can't take it. In other words, this obedience that I have, it will not falter. So if that's my joy, what does God's joy look like? It still looks like expectations I gave you, regardless of whether you're up or whether you're down, or whatever it appears like. Obey me. God's joy, even in our shortcomings, look like Jesus on the cross. Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody big the difference? He still expects you to do exactly what he called you to do. That's what his joy looks like, and you actually doing it.
All right.
The Bible says, my child with who I am well pleased. Why was he well pleased? That means although he went through hell, although he went through abuse or condemnation, he obeyed me. Why do you think he said, well, please? What does God's joy look like? When you actually go through tests and trials and you still obey him. Expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God's joy looks like when he say, job well done. But how can you say job well done when you don't go through nothing?
Amen. All right.
Y'all, water can wipe dust off. But can it take a stain out your kitchen counter? That's when you go get that tough stuff. God looking for the tough stuff, not the watery stuff. Y'all follow?
Yes, sir.
All right, good deal, good deal. All righty, so we're going to do this one real quickly. Mr. DJ, okay, well, Miss Tiana, I'm going to allow you to ask Mr. DJ a question. Mr. DJ, I'm going to let you ask Ms. Tiana a question just off the top of your head about this topic. Falling short, but not staying there. Mr. DJ, you ask Ms. Tiana first. What you got?
Ms. Tiana, any advice on falling short? I guess what I'm getting at is when someone in your circle falls short, how long should they stay there?
Mm. Great question. If they're in my circle, they shouldn't be there for long. As if I'm doing what I'm being called to do, they should be, it should be a expedient turnaround, because as Mr. Carr said, that's the expectation that we should be working in. So what does that mean? What am I supposed to do if someone in my circle is falling? Is go to them in truth, go to them in love. Just the other day, I had a friend come to me regarding a situation where basically she was upset because her parents were paying more attention to her younger siblings. And she didn't feel that she was any more a part of the family. And it was just there to just tell her the truth. And the truth being that, you know, Jesus said that who is my mother, who is my brother? You can't walk around in being dull or worried or upset because somebody has done this thing to you. Well, if Jesus was walking around because people did things to him, he would have never gotten on that cross, right? If he was worried about his mother or brother visiting, then he wouldn't have gotten his work done. We're all part of God's family. So if we're sisters and brothers in Christ, then God, we're a new creation. And if we're in God, then we have a whole new family that we are to look out. That doesn't mean we're not to extend that same love back to those whom we presume are harming us. But maybe that's an opportunity that God is showing us to say, hey, go and seek your brothers and sisters over here and walk with them. So we just have to, if someone in my circle is down and out, I got to meet them where they are. And I was able to talk in that way because this is someone who says they're in Christ, who is walking in Christ, but continues to stumble in this same place. So just being that direct and honest sister in Christ with them. So.
Okay.
All right. So my question is, so basically, I have a friend who shared with me that she basically went and got her law degree, Mr. DJ. And she got it because that's what her parents told her all her years, that she was to become a lawyer. If it wasn't a lawyer, then she had to be a doctor. If it wasn't a doctor, then she had to be an engineer. Well, now she's got this degree. Now, all these years, she worked, but decided that's not for her. And is now in education. She's now teaching. But her family is saying, well, you're not doing well. You're falling from our graces. Has she truly fallen? Or
absolutely
is she doing
not
what she's been called to do?
Absolutely not. You have to follow your heart and what God tells you to do. Prime example, I went to school for electrical engineering. I stayed there for a while, but then found myself back around band, which was my first love. Then when I got around band, I started using my mathematics skills to help tutor the kids. So I ended up being a mathematics education teacher. So life's funny that way. My sister was one of the CEOs of Coke on the board that controls the liquid, and now she's a teacher. And when I look back, all my aunts, all my mom, all my aunts, that whole side of family are nothing but teachers and educators. Sometimes you have to go a different route to get to the calling and path upon which God called you to. Now, we just talked about your plan. Your plan, it could be your plan or an influence that you would call your plan, and that's not what it is. You know, you have to at some point deny yourself and that family and everybody else who wants you to be this, that, and the other and do what God calls you to do. And if that's your friend's thing with education, that's what she's called to, that's perfect. I used to ask my sister, how in the world you go from a six-figure salary? And on top of this, y'all, she left that to be a substitute teacher. And I kept telling her it was the love of her kid, my nephew being born. She just said, I don't feel fulfilled. Nobody speaks to me. I got this big office. I'm making all this money. My husband is making all this money. I need to be there for my kids. And I said, but a substitute? I said, you know, they don't make a whole lot of money. And it's not about the money. It's not about the money. I told her, girl, your shopping habit, you'll see on payday. And she got the paycheck and told me, you're right. But at the same time, she said, I've never felt more fulfilled. To this day now, she's been in over 10 years, teacher of the year twice. They want her to be an admin. I'm just saying, I'm so proud of her because she's not as uptight with stress, and it ain't even about the money, and she's closer to God. So, again, you have to follow your heart, but at the same time, listen at what God has put forth for you on that path. It may not be what you expect it to be now, but you know, your niche, that's something that you do. You know, it ain't something that you got to keep working at. So you might have a plan for yourself, but then God says, aha, but I need you to do this. Another prime example is preachers, people who speak. And I'm not saying nothing sideways about Mr. Carr, but most people who know the Bible, it's the reason why they know the Bible. They weren't born that way. I don't believe Mr. Carr was brought here already saved. Most people who, God doesn't use people who are polished and perfect. He needs you to be broken down. He needs for you to have a testimony. He needs for you to know what it's like to be in that gutter or be on the other side of the tracks, per se. He needs for you to know what that sin is. That way, when you tell someone not to do it, it's genuine. It's real. And that's how he utilizes you. So, yeah, you might get that friend, tell her to hold on to that law degree now. I'm not tripping because that's a big accomplishment. She might have to sue one of her students or something. I don't know. But tell her to hold on to it. So that's a good thing to have. But I'm just saying, the talents that God gives you, hold on to them. But you're going to follow your destiny and your plan for what he has planned for you.
That's right.
All right. Well, there it is, y'all. Falling short, but not staying there. Falling short, but you definitely don't have to stay there. All right. Mr. DJ, if you don't mind praying for us, please.
Yes, bow your heads, open up your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humblest, in the humblest way that we know how, Father. We want you to dismiss us from this conference, but never from your presence. Help us, Father, to stay on that path that you have for us, Father, and to follow your plan. Please don't let us stray too far. And the things that we learn, let it manifest and grow within us and show others, not so that we can get any credit, Father, but to go about telling the world that it was all you. You said if you be lifted up, that you will draw all men unto you, Father. And for that, we thank you. We love you, Father. We ask for traveling grace and mercy, and we just ask a blessing of everybody under the sound of my voice. Bless our families, friends, enemies, and acquaintances. And, Father, help us when we do fall to be able to get back up and to be that beacon of hope and example to others who may have been fallen. Sometimes, Father, we even ask that allow us to stand fast on someone that's fallen so that they can lean on us so that we can also help elevate them, which actually elevates us. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Y'all have a great night. Okay, have a great night. Make sure you catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. All right? Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.